Blog Talk Radio.
Tonight is a particular honor for me because, let's face it, my presence on this stage is pretty unlikely. My father was a foreign student, born and raised in a small village in Kenya. He grew up herding goats, went to school in a tin roof shack. His father, my grandfather, was a cook.
Welcome to Current Events with Patrick Cook. I'm your host, Patrick Cook, coming to you live from Dallas, Texas, as I do every Sunday at 4 p.m. Central Time, 5 o'clock Eastern. We are the number one resource for small business and nonprofits. To learn how you can showcase your business or nonprofit, go to our website at TaylorMade101.com. That's TaylorMade101.com and click on Blog Talk Radio Affiliates for details. Now, this month we paid tribute to African American authors. We started out with Leo Baron Hicks. Last week we had on Mr. Motivator, Dwight Jeffrey. And this week, our headliner, a person whose spirit is sweet as they come, Paulette Tyson. Paulette Tyson currently serves as an executive board member of the Williamson County African American Chamber of Commerce. Mrs. Tyson is a graduate of the University of North Texas at Denton and has always had an interest in criminal justice system. In junior high school, Ms. Tyson has served on Texas Teenage Commission and has enjoyed several accolades, masteries, and numerous certificates. She is a member of Sigma Gamma Rho Incorporated and a former president of the Austin chapter of the National Association of Blacks in Criminal Justice. Paulette Tyson is accomplished in her professional career as well as in her personal life. She is the wife of Reverend Lewis Tyson Jr. and the mother of two beautiful children. Well, now we can add to that long list of accolades, author. The title of her new book, I Gotta Get a Nickname, is a must-have for many of the households across America. So sound the alarm. Get on Facebook, Twitter, send out emails and text messages. Call your friends and families and tell them to tune in right now to Current Events with Patrick Cook. So to join the conversation, the number to call is 323-580-5712. Once again, that number is 323-580-5712. And for those of you that are listening via Blog Talk Radio, leave your comments. Click the follow button or follow me on Twitter, and that's at TaylorMade101. But first, let's take a look at our current events. Now, there were two interesting articles in The Root, juxtaposed, arguing the absence of African Americans in the 83rd Academy Awards. Now, the first article suggests that with all of the usual pomp and circumstance surrounding the event and the nominees, this time around there has been much ado about the lack of African Americans nominated in front or behind the camera. Now, as you all know, in the last decade, we had groundbreaking nominations and wins. In fact, Halle Berry and Denzel Washington winning Best Actress and Best Actor Awards in 2002 for Monsters Ball and Training Day, respectively. Jamie Foxx's 2005 Best Actor win for his stunning performance in Ray. Don't forget Forrest Whitaker, Best Actor for The Last King of Scotland in 2006, and Jennifer Hudson's Best Supporting Actress win in 2007 for Dreamgirls. It seemed that Oscar had finally found a consistent place in his heart for black actors. Last year, the winning streak continued with Oscars for Monique's Best Supporting Actress role in Precious and for that movie screenwriter, Fletcher, who made history when he became the first African-American to win the Best Adapted Screenplay category. Then there was Roger Ross Williams' win in the short documentary category for Music by Prudence. But the winning streak came to an abrupt halt this year. There are no African Americans nominated for Academy Awards, even though there were some solid performances. Now, the article that was just opposed to that one said this. Now, why in an article entitled "Why No Black Films Were Nominated," it states black people aren't being robbed this year at the Oscars. If there was a year not to have been robbed at the Academy Awards, this was the year. 2010 and 2011 was the year of the not very good black movie for Color Girls and the almost but not quite good enough black movie Night Catches Us. The mere presence of black folks on the screen, the mere presence of a serious black film with lots of angst and scenery chewing doesn't make it worthy of an award. The fact that a few black actors and actresses got put to work, that a black director was behind the camera, does not mean that little gold men should be handing out towards them this season. Now, and I happen to like For Colored Girls. I think it was an excellent movie. However, at the end of the day, it's truly about money. Now, of course, if you haven't seen the movie, I thought it was beautifully done. But there was a lot of controversy about the movie. But one could easily argue that it didn't get the support it deserved, not even from African Americans. And one thing is for certain, on the big night, a lot would be plugged in. A lot of people would be plugged into their iPads and laptops and smartphones and or social media sites posting and tweeting about it. And I guess I would have to say, I hope the social network gets the nod and wins Best Picture and that Jesse Eisenberg gets Best Actor in the leading role. I just absolutely love the movie. It would be interesting to see how the ratings go this year because of the lack of African-Americans. But I would like to hear what you think. So to join the conversation, the number to call is 323-580-5712. Again, that number is 323-580-5712. And so each week, I also do a moment of reflections. And today's moment of reflection is about shared sacrifice. Now, there was an interesting article written by Ted Reinster entitled, "Not When It Comes to Cutting Back." And it says this: "We're broke." That's how House Speaker John Boehner succinctly put it this past week in defending an earlier, rather callous comment he made. In defending Republican efforts to dramatically slash federal spending, Boehner said that if government jobs are lost as a result, so be it. I guess it's easy to be flipped about becoming unemployed as long as it's someone else's jobs that's getting jumped or whose heat is getting turned off. Boehner later dialed back his Mr. Potter impersonation and said, "I don't want anyone to lose their job." Ironically, though, the larger point which Boehner bumbled in making his well-taken economically we're in a deep doo-doo, although broke is a very relative term here, you can ask American corporations, many of which have had record profits last year, while currently sitting on mountains of cash rather than rehiring, how broke they are. And even when many economists say that now is not time to cut back on well-targeted, job-creating federal spending, the only true bipartisan target right now is, at last, not jobs, but the federal deficit. Now that a budget imbalance of $1.5 trillion and counting can or should be ignored, mind you, but how about a little basic fairness and intelligence in attacking it? Because Boehner's uncaring crack about losing jobs is the least of it. When it comes to making a crude joke out of seriously reducing federal spending, and here's the joke's punchline: shared sacrifice. Jacob Lew, President Obama's budget director, described the administration's new spending plan as a blueprint for shared sacrifice. "We're doing what every family does when it sits around its kitchen table," Lew has said. "We're making the choice about what do we need for the future." Now, perhaps Lew was referring to the Adams family, because here's what usually doesn't happen when most families sit around the kitchen table and talk together about tightening their belts. Dad doesn't usually say, "Well, kids, I'm going to buy myself a new car, new clothes, some new golf clubs, and your mom and I will be taking a few weeks vacation at Club Med next month. As for you guys, allowance is over, hand-me-downs only, and it's all leftovers all the time for school lunch. Hey, we got to start somewhere." That's just about how shared the sacrifice is right now, as we sit around the national table and talk about cutting back. Some of the proposed cuts we're supposedly sharing. Now, I would love to hear your comments on this. And so to join the conversation, the number to call is 323-580-5712. Once again, the number is 323-580-5712. And when we return, we're going to open up the phone lines and take some calls. I will also solicit the wisdom of my co-host, Jima. So be back in a moment. Current Events with Patrick Cook is joining the fight with First Lady Michelle Obama to help feed hungry children and stop childhood obesity. During the school year, many children receive free and reduced price breakfast and lunch as a result of the school breakfast and national school lunch programs. However, when the last bell sounds, marking the end of the school year, for many, it marks the beginning of hunger that will plague them throughout the summer. Here at Current Events, we're going to fill that nutrition gap and make sure children can get the nutritious meals they need. To learn how you can help with this worthy cause, go to TaylorMade101.com and click on Hunger Free. That's TaylorMade101.com and click on Hunger Free.
Enterprises have joined forces with Google Inc. and Amazon.com. With this new partnership, our companies, TaylorMade Training and Consulting, Current Events, and Ask Jima, can now offer you the best deals 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Whether you're looking for a discounted book for your book club or a very special gift for a friend, family member, or loved one, TaylorMade's Marketplace is where you should go first. Visit our website at TaylorMade101.com. and click on Marketplace to get the best deals today.
Welcome back to Current Events with Patrick Cook. Before we take some calls, I'd like for Jima to weigh into a few of these questions. We talked a little bit about the Oscars, and we also talked a little bit more about this notion called shared sacrifice. So I'm going to get Jima to weigh in here in just a moment. But before that happens, I would like to take a look at one other thing here. And I was reading earlier about this article that was written. And the young man was talking about how a father was sitting at the table, and while he was at the table, of course, he kind of gave an analogy where his dad would go out and buy this car and his new clothes, and his mom, him and his wife would go out to Club Med, and at the same time, he would talk about his children eating some leftovers and perhaps wearing hand-me-downs as opposed to getting them new clothes. And so I think the analogy here is pretty much saying that the corporate structure that we have, you know, are still living this lavish lifestyle. The fact that, you know, that you can still go around and see, and then in the Oscars tonight, you're going to see a lot of people going to be doing really, really well, and not to mention the tax cuts that were recently afforded by the larger corporation of the upper earners in the United States. So for the most part, people are not feeling that it is truly shared sacrifice, because the only people that are asking to give something is the people that are losing their jobs, like what's happening in Wisconsin. They're asking the unions to kind of hold off, and so they're cutting benefits in a lot of places outside of corporate America. So I'm going to bring Jima on the line and get her to weigh in on a few of these topics. Jima, you there?
I am.
So, you know, first let me ask you the first question, and it's primarily about share sacrifice. You know, during these tough economic times, are we really truly sharing the burden of responsibility?
Can you say it again? You came in a little broken. I'm sorry.
Yeah, are we truly sharing the burden of responsibility during these tough economic times?
I don't think we are across the board, primarily because if you go back a couple of months ago when the president had to basically broker the deal with the Republicans on those tax breaks, and yet as we sit here now and the threat of the government shutting down because of this budget crisis, whereas if you think about the breaks that was given to those corporations and to the 2% of our country, the richest 2%, then had those taxes kicked in on January 1, we might have not as much of a deficit as we're dealing with now. So I don't think it's shared across the board, no. I think those of us that somewhere in the middle and middle lower seem to get the brunt end of it, in terms of things just seem to be getting higher and higher and more expensive for us to be able to maintain not the lavish lifestyle we were accustomed to, but some of us just simple living.
This is true. So
I don't know when cable became, you know, a luxury item. I haven't figured that out yet.
Right. So, you know, I see the problem as kind of twofold. You know, one, the fact that because there are not that many working Americans, and the ones that are working are earning less or not growing at the same rate as our corporate structure. But if you couple that with the fact that the people, that the jobs that were here are no longer here, they're shipped overseas, and a large majority of those service jobs, heavy service jobs, and some productivity jobs were pretty fair earners. And so we lose that tax revenue, whether it be high tax or low tax, we lose that revenue altogether. And if you couple that with the fact that we've now had these tax breaks in place for an extended period of time, so that's additional revenue that's not being pumped into the system. And then finally, when you look at the fact that you continue to extend those for a couple of more years, I think we're really in a situation where it's not so much that we're spending more, but it's like we're earning less. So it's almost like if I, you know, in my personal income, if I had a job that was making $50,000 a year and I was maintaining my household income and everything was fine, but I took a different job that was making $35,000 a year and I still had the same debt, you know. And so to me, it seems like we're in a situation where we're not gaining as much revenue, but we're still paying out in Social Security, we're still paying out in Medicare, we're still in health care, and all those other things that are happening, but we're not generating revenue. And so it's not made any better by continuing those tax cuts. Now, you know, the argument against it, of course, would be, you know, what happens if I make $1 million? You know, I don't want my taxes, you know, hurt, you know, or cut. I mean, $1 million is really not a lot of money, you know, relative to, you know, billions and billions. Because when you make $1 million, you don't bring home $1 million. You know, I think you said it the other day. Oprah talked about the fact that if you make $1 million, you bring home $500,000, right?
Yeah, she said because she said about $580,000 was going to taxes.
Right. So, I mean, you know, I can understand the fact that you don't want to have your earnings going towards a tax structure, but at the same time, some has to be done. So, you have any solutions, Jim?
You know, this is such a complex issue that it seems I don't have any solutions. I think that it's so complex because we've taken on so much, and we've taken on so much so fast that we're dealing with, you know, two wars and maybe another one, depending on what's going on over in Libya. I hear Hillary Clinton talking about we're prepared and ready to go do something. So I don't know what that means. So you got wars going on. You got the price of gas skyrocketing out the ceiling. You have, which means the price of gas will have a direct impact on everybody. Mm-hmm. Because it's going to cost more to get your food to the grocery store, which means they're going to have to up the prices. So that $50,000 you were making, you're going to be putting out even more just on your regular household goods, and you're not doing anything different. You're buying the same amount of food that you always bought, but now it might cost you $100, $200 more because of how everything has been impacted across the country. So I don't know. This is a scary time right now.
Yeah, it's a very challenging time ahead. I have to agree with you. So I want to shift our attention for a moment to the Academy Awards. Well, let me ask you the first question. Will you be watching tonight?
No.
And why not?
I don't foresee me watching, but I very seldom watch them unless I recognize one or two of the people that may be up for an award. And I can honestly say I don't recognize any of those names of anybody except for the movie The Fighter. And it seems like every year there's a fight movie that gets into the Oscars. You know, I'm just curious about how that happens every year, or at least every other year. There's some movie about fighting. And that gets an award. It gets an award nomination. So I just find that to be quite interesting. But no, I don't really recognize too many people. I've only seen one of the movies. I don't know. Honestly, I don't even think I've seen one of the movies that was nominated for Best Picture of the Year. So I'm not real sure why I would watch it, because I hadn't seen any of the movies anyway.
Okay. So now, earlier during the monologue, I talked a little bit about the articles that were juxtaposing a route. One saying that we should have some people in that were Oscar worthy, and then the other article saying that we didn't have it. I asked you a question about colored girls. Do you think it was Oscar worthy?
I do, and you came in a little broken. I do think some parts of it was Oscar worthy. Yeah, I believe a couple of the characters really played some pretty significant roles, I think it had some moments and some scenes and some people in the movie that I thought shouldn't have gotten a nod.
Yeah. So and the reason why I thought it should get a nod too, because I didn't really get a chance to look at Precious, and it got the nod last year, or some of the actresses did, actors. And you know, just from me hearing about the two movies, I thought For Colored Girls was a better production, a brother worthy movie than Precious. So what are your thoughts?
I would agree with that, having seen both of them and having read both of the stories that they both came from. I would say For Colored Girls gave the depiction of truly of how it was in terms of how the play was originally written. So I think Colored Girls was a much better movie than Precious, but Precious showed us a side that people hadn't seen before in terms of, you know, the whole mental health thing in Black America, which we very seldom talk about. And so then to come back probably to some that didn't want to hear that story again about the plight of the Black woman and the relationships with Black men. Although, as I stated, we hear the fight story with white people every day. Every year there's a fight movie. So I don't know why we can't tell our story every year as well. because the fight movie happens every year. So I just think, you know, there's some issues there that people really don't want to talk about, because then you get talking about race and genders, and those are all touchy subjects. So, but I definitely think, in my opinion, I thought for color girls who consider suicide when the rainbow is enough was a much better movie than Precious. Not to take anything away from Precious, because in its season, Precious did what it was supposed to do in the season that it was delivered. And I think Colored Girls did what it was supposed to do in the season in which it was delivered.
Well, in my opinion, you know, whether we have some nominees or not, I think we have, over the last decade, we have had some outstanding performances. You know, I mentioned most of them earlier: Halle Berry, Denzel, Forest Whitaker, Jennifer Hudson, Monique, Jamie Foxx. I mean, and there was all magnificent performances. So, I mean, you know, you win some and you lose some, and you know, and I couldn't argue whether we had a movie that was worthy or not. I can tell you that when people go out and support a movie, and when people see it in numbers, in large numbers, then it draws attention to that movie. But so when you have people talking about they're not going to see it for a particular reason, then I don't think you can argue whether it should be considered to be an Oscar or not, because if you didn't go out and support it. So, but anyway.
But having said that, I don't think all of these movies that have been nominated were all blockbuster movies at the theater either. So it can't just be that, that can't be the only reason as well. So just want to put that out there. I don't think they all opened their weekend number one. I know Social Network did, but I'm not sure about the rest of them.
Well, Social Network was I'm a techie, you know, by no stretch of the imagination. The movie was, you know, I could have watched it all day, you know, several times. And I thought the actor did an amazing job of acting in that movie. I mean, it was just so many different memorable moments for me in the movie that I just absolutely love. And I hope they win all of the awards tonight, because it was a magnificent job. So, I mean, the Social Network, and not to mention the impact that it has had on our society. I mean, it's an amazing phenomenon. But nevertheless, up next, we will be joined by our very special guest. So stay tuned. You're listening to Current Events with Patrick Cook. Current Events with Patrick Cook is joining the fight with First Lady Michelle Obama to help feed hungry children and stop childhood obesity. During the school year, many children receive free and reduced price breakfast and lunch as a result of the school breakfast and national school lunch programs. However, when the last bell sounds, marking the end of the school year, for many, it marks the beginning of hunger that will plague them throughout the summer. Here at Current Events, we're going to fill that nutrition gap and make sure children can get the nutritious meals they need. To learn how you can help with this worthy cause, go to TaylorMade101.com and click on Hunger Free. That's TaylorMade101.com and click on Hunger Free.
Cook Enterprises have joined forces with Google Inc. and Amazon.com. With this new partnership, our company, TaylorMade Training and Consulting, Current Events, and Ask Jima can now offer you the best deals 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Whether you're looking for discounted books for your book club or a very special gift for a friend, family member, or loved one, TaylorMade's Marketplace is where you should go first. Visit our website at TaylorMade101.com and click on Marketplace to get the best deals today.
Paulette, welcome to the show.
Hi. Hi, Patrick. Hi, Gina.
All right.
Hi.
Now, so before we get started, I have to ask the question.
Okay.
Paulette, do you have a nickname?
I have several. None of which I really want to mention right now, but I'll give you one. I've been called Sweet Pea a lot.
Okay. So what's the story behind Sweet Pea?
Well, you know, one lady at my church, she just thought I was sweet, you know. Sweet Pea was born then, so I appreciate that.
Okay. So tell us a little bit more about Paulette, the wife, Paulette, the mother, and Paulette, the author.
Wow. Paulette, the wife, is still in a discovery mode. There is so much more to her that I've yet to discover. My husband and I celebrated our 8th anniversary on February 15th. And we're still growing.
Still learning a lot about one another.
It's just awesome. I absolutely love it. Paulette, the mother, has different day-to-day challenges, as does every mother. It's wonderful, though. We have a lot of fun. I have a 6-year-old and a 3-year-old, and there are so many things that they're learning daily. It's just one that's keeping me on my toes because I'm having to keep up with them, learn different things. Different study groups my son is involved in. He's learning Spanish, and that is a challenge there. And my daughter is into, I think his name is Justin Bieber, and she's 3, and I'm just trying to keep up. It is awesome, though. I love that. And Paulette, the author, wow, this is a new pair of shoes, and I'm really, really excited about it. I hope and pray that many will embrace nicknames again. I don't hear them very often anymore, and I'm hoping that we can start something new, you know, and something that several generations ago, it was just commonplace. You really didn't know people by their name. You knew them by their nicknames.
This is true. So what inspired you to write the book?
My father. Had I been a boy, I would have carried on my maiden name, Webster, for another generation. However, although families had their fingers crossed and said prayers, I was a girl. And so my hope is that through this book, it is one that contributes to the legacy of the Webster family, which were based in Granger, Texas. And my hope is that many people will read about the unique qualities that they had, and one of which were nicknames. Just about everybody in the family had a nickname, and that was something that my father imparted to me. And it was an embracing quality. It was never anything hurtful or harmful. It was an embracing quality. If you were different, you know, they allowed you to embrace that with your nickname, and it was something that people just took as at face value, and they learned to love it. So, I don't know. I'm hoping that his knowing that he inspired me has truly been a benefit to him and a credit to his parenting. I think they're really proud.
Awesome. Now, if you're listening out there and you know my nickname back in the day, give us a call. I would explain why they call me that name. Probably I'm like you. I have several nicknames. Sometimes people give them to you. Sometimes you kind of earn them, if you will.
Oh, yeah.
So to join the conversation, the number to call is 323-580-5712. Again, the number to call is 323-580-5712. Now, of course, if you do know my nickname out there or know one of my nicknames from back in the day, give me a call. I will definitely, definitely talk to it, and I'll explain it. Okay, I'm going to go to the phone lines, Paulette, real quick and see what we have here. Hello, you're on Current Event with Patrick Cook. You have a call or a question?
Call.
Yes, this is last 40594. Do you have a comment or a question?
I have a comment.
Okay,
This is Jop and Jima in Austin, Texas, and we're calling to wish Paulette luck. I got a nickname. We're so proud of her, and we love her.
Awesome.
Thank you.
So what's your nickname, caller?
My nickname was Gearbug.
So kind of explain to the world how you got that nickname.
Because I have big, pretty eyes, and everybody used to say that I look like a Gita bug. I don't know what a Gita bug look like, but they tell me I look like a big Gita bug with big bubble eyes.
Awesome, awesome, awesome.
Thank you guys for calling. We love you back. We love you back. Thank you.
All right, thank you for the talk.
Thank you.
Okay, so Paulette, how do you come up with the title? No, I mean, that is a very unique title, and it's catchy, and it's something that I'm sure a lot of people, you kind of take them aback by, because, yeah, I remember the nickname back in the day. You're right, you don't hear many people, you know, use their nicknames as often as we did back when I was growing up. So how did you come up with the title?
Well, you know, in the book, it's a town of many nicknames, and basically the little boy is coming to a new town, and he notices this right off the bat. Everybody has a nickname, and he wants to fit in, basically. And so on his quest to get a nickname, he encounters a lot of different people. When it comes to selecting the title for this particular book, you know, a lot of times we get nicknames that we don't necessarily want. But sometimes, you know, you'd like to be known, you know, as whatever describes you best. And so this little boy, you know, he has an encounter with a new element of his new community, and that's his nickname, and it really makes him feel a part. But I got to get a nickname. It's just something that is pretty catchy to the ear, especially for children that are ages 5 to 9. Some of them have never heard of nicknames, and I've been reading to children at schools this past week. Shout out to the elementary schools I visited this past week. Many of them had nicknames, but some of them had never heard of nicknames before. I was really surprised.
Mm. Now, so in your book, I'm going to read a passage out of
okay.
your book. It says, excuse me if I butcher the name, Zimra.
Okay.
Looked at his new surroundings with a frown on his butterscotch face and said, "Not much to look at her." From out of nowhere, this older man peeped from the curtains of the ranch-style home and then closed them back quickly. "Who is this saying, howdy do?" Zimrod said to himself as he watched his pops and many, well, if you read the book, you'll understand how they got those names, embraced the older man with his wife looking on from the porch. Pop said to Zimrod, this is your Uncle Krusty. Zimrod laughed, just hearing the word Krusty. Now, Uncle Krusty bent down and told Zimrod that in his day, everybody had a nickname. Zimrod greeted Uncle Krusty with a slight smile. Pops then told Zimrod to ask how Krusty got his nickname. And Uncle Krusty laughed and said, I'm not going to read the rest of it. You have to read the book
okay.
to find out how Uncle Krusty got his nickname. But I thought that was just absolutely wonderful.
Well, the little boy's name is Zimri. And Zimri is the Hebrew word for song.
Oh.
And basically, I like to sing, and we were singing in church today, so I sound a little raspy. But Zimri, his name means song in Hebrew. And Uncle Krusty, well, my brother, when my children were born, he said, "Y'all call me Uncle Krusty." And I was like, oh, okay. He named himself. So what I wanted to do was give children an opportunity to just connect with some words, you know, and everybody kind of knows what Krusty means, you know. And I think with him being Uncle Krusty, he didn't leave himself out of it. Uncle Krusty
right.
is the character in the book that kind of names everyone. So Uncle Krusty didn't leave himself out of that. And if you were to read on, he shares how he got his nickname, which was, you know, something that made Zimri kind of connect to him.
Right. You're listening to Current Events with Patrick Cook. Today, our very special guest is Paulette Tyson, the author of the new book entitled I Gotta Get a Nickname. Paulette Tyson currently serves as an executive board member of the Williamson County African American Chamber of Commerce. Paulette Tyson is accomplished in her professional career as well as in her personal life. She is the wife of Reverend Lewis Tyson Jr. and a mother of two beautiful children. So, I want to transition here for just a moment into writing the book, right?
Okay.
A lot of people would love to, I mean, have ideas, have stories they want to tell, but the writing part and the publishing part can get convoluted and complicated in a lot of places. So could you tell our audience out there, so what was the effort that went in first into writing?
When you start writing, and I would say the first thing is write your thoughts down and reread them, read them again, and then if you can go to a focus group of other writers, read it to them. And sometimes they will give you additional ideas to help you get those ideas communicated well. Because sometimes we know how we want it to sound. However, when you read it to someone else, they may not quite get it the same way you intend. So, you know, let others in on what it is you want to do. After you have written what it is you have an idea, whether it's a children's book or a poetry or a novel, you do want to have the study group. If you're looking for a publisher or if you are wanting to self-publish, as I did, there are additional steps that have to be made. But I think, first of all, make sure that whatever it is, you get a sounding board, because you may get additional ideas to help bring clarity to what it is your idea is.
How did you find the focus group? I mean, was it like some networking that you did? You knew people already. How did you get in contact with the focus group?
Well, I was introduced via email to a gentleman here in Austin named Don Tate. He is an illustrator, a wonderful illustrator, and he was very, very nice to impart to me that, you know, you need to go to a focus group. And one of the places here is a library and bookstore called Book People. He suggested that I go there on a particular Saturday. The focus group was at 11. And there's another writer friend of mine. She and several of her friends get together, I believe, at a church on Saturday at around the same time. So there are several locations. There are some societies you can look up on the Internet that will also tell you where study groups and focus groups will meet. But you can also just pool with friends that you have, or you can check out local libraries. And I would suggest that you do blend with people of different ethnicities because, again, if you want to have a barrier-crossing type of audience, you want to get input from various people.
Awesome, awesome. Now, you talked a little bit about illustration. And when I look at the book, you know, I see some of everybody in here. And so now, did you have any influence on the pictures, or did you give your illustrator some, you know, kind of guidelines? Because I want to ask, is that person in the front page, is that you?
Well, I would say yes.
Okay.
I tried to bring my family in here, and there are several illustrators that I want to thank. Patrick, I'm so glad that you gave me the platform to do that. The first person I want to thank is my cousin Ronnie. He's the one that did the original illustration on the cover, which is basically my son and my father facing each other, and my son saying, "I got to get a nickname." My son is Zimri. My father is Uncle Krusty. He drew the original cover. It was changed a little bit and animated for production, but he is the original artist. Then there are several people at my church that I asked to help me, which are Kim Moten and Sandra Avery Seals. The person that I worked with the most as far as getting each character in place, her name is Alicia Herbert. She goes by Miss Weesh, and she is a graduate of UT at Austin, and if I'm not mistaken, I believe her grandfather was one of the illustrators on the Jungle Book.
Oh.
Illustrations. Yeah, so she just had it innately, and she helped me get every character. I gave her some images of whom I wanted in place, and she went forward. There were a couple of other people. One of my coworker sisters, her name is Dawn Smith, she helped me as well. And my illustrator for this project, her name is Gigi Forrester. And she put it all together, had it more of an animation-like format, because it would interest children, the bright colors, you know, with children ages 5 to 9. So I really thank you for the platform to thank everyone that helped me.
Well, you know, of course, again, I go back to the opening of, about your spirit. You have such a warm and pleasant spirit, so and I'm sure it permeates throughout the internet today. So I'm sure people are going to go out there and buy the book. They'll get a chance to feel it. You know, your work is really illustrated well here. And so, and not to mention, you know, when you talk about the whole notion of nicknames, you know, A long time ago, you know, everybody had nicknames, and so I'm sure it's going to resonate with a lot of people. So this is.
I hope so, Patrick, because the wonderful thing is it's a fast read, and parents get to enjoy the nicknames as well.
Right, right. So we talked about writing. We talked about the illustration. Now I want to talk a little bit about publishing.
Okay.
You mentioned that you self-published your book. First of all, define what it means to be self-published, and then talk about what you did in order to publish your book.
Well, the first thing I did was I wrote my thoughts down, and then immediately after I wrote my thoughts down and I went to the focus groups, the things that I really thought I truly liked that I had shared with other people, I copyrighted them.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted to make sure that it maintained the integrity and my intent, my word. So I copyrighted them. Thereafter, I started seeking different publishing institutions to produce my work, and I ran across several, and I met a gentleman, Mr. Jones, Harold Jones, that told me about Harvey Jones, who told me about Trafford, and he had such major success with them, and so I invested in myself financially to go with Trafford. When you self-publish, you are basically taking your own monies to invest in your project. However, it maintains every ounce of what you put into it.
Mm-hmm.
There's no one that can deviate without your approval. It is not inexpensive. It will cost you, but like I said, it is an investment.
Mm-hmm.
And once you have hired on with a publisher, you'll need to find yourself an illustrator. And I believe once you have everything in focus, it makes others pretty much eager to work with you because you're taken pretty seriously because you've got everything in place. And they know you're well invested, so
mm-hmm.
I mean, it was an awesome experience. I must say, if I had an agent, they would have taken a lot of the phone calls that I had to personally make myself. And you're passionate about your work. You know exactly how you want it to look. You know exactly what you created. You know what's in your mind and how you want it to put it on canvas and on writing. You know exactly how you want it to look. So you are your best advocate when you self-publish. And so, you know, I'm hoping that in the future, perhaps an agent will, you know, contact me and they want to go forward even further with this project. But I was tired of waiting, and
mm-hmm.
I wanted to get it done. So therefore, I took the bull by the horns and I said, okay, Lord, help me do this. And he did. And I'm very, very grateful.
And it's an awesome piece of work. I mean, I really, really like, you know, from cover to cover, it's just a great, well put together book. It really, truly is.
Thank you.
So now, talk a little bit about the challenges, right? I mean, you went through this entire process. I'm sure there were times when you was like, you know, or people were just not cooperating. And so, talk about the challenges and some of the things that got you through those challenges.
There will be challenges. Again, if I had an agent, they would have been my sounding board and go-between, but I didn't. So a lot of the things that I had to take issue with, I did have to come to bat with myself. But I did have an advocate throughout the entire publishing process. And Jetta, thank you so much for all that you did. She works with Trafford. The challenges may come about with illustrations. You know exactly how you want your character to look, and maybe it looks a little different, but those are conversations you have to kind of get it exactly like you want it. And then, you know, there are some things you may compromise on. There are some things that you are adamant about and you won't compromise on. Like in my focus group, they wanted to change Zimri's name to something like Dwayne. And I was like, oh, no. So there are things that, you know, you have to stick to your guns with. And I want to encourage whomever, children, adults, if you really want to write and you really want your product out there, do it. Please invest in yourself. Please go forward with your thoughts, because there is a beautiful audience that's ready to receive you. You just need to put your thoughts on paper and go forward. I would encourage anyone to please do that. Invest in yourself. Truly, please do that.
So what's next? Got the book out there, doing well. You did a couple of visits to some schools, right? Talk a little bit about your school and then what's next.
I enjoyed visiting Sims Elementary this past week. I enjoyed visiting Norman Elementary on this past week. And basically what I'm doing is reading to the children to get a feel for how the children are receiving the book. And, you know, I must just say, on many occasions, I was really moved to tears because the children loved it. And not only that, I got letters from them, Patrick, saying how much they liked the book and how much they were inspired to write. And you just never know how you will affect another person. And so it's just a blessing. It truly is a blessing from God. And I'm hoping that on my visit tomorrow at Caldwell Elementary that we'll be received as well. I think I've probably read to about 13 classrooms already this past week, and I have been invited to read to 13 classrooms tomorrow. So by the end of the week, well, by the beginning of this week, I would have read to 26 different classes of children, and that's about maybe 18 to 25 children per class.
Wow.
So the children have given me a great fan base. They like it. They're ready for something else. And to answer your question, what's next, my husband and I are really active in youth ministry at our church and other churches. So we love children, and we're wanting to just be impacting in the Austin community, Pflugerville community, Texas. And we're hoping that God will just continue to elevate us and give us favor, because, you know, favor's not fair. You know, I can't say that we deserve it, but I'm just thankful that he's using us right now. And so wherever the Lord leads, we're ready to follow. So I'm thankful to everyone that has helped me in their contributions. And tomorrow we will also have a book dedication at Caldwell Elementary School because they are the school where my son attends, and they have given us such a amazing, amazing opportunity tomorrow. So just really excited.
Wow. Okay, so most importantly, where can people get this great book?
I'm glad you asked. It's available on Amazon.com, BarnesandNoble.com, Books A Million, Chapters Indigo, and I believe on TaylorMade.
It is on TaylorMade.
Yay!
That's right. That's right. It is our top pick of the month.
Woohoo!
So, absolutely. So you can go to TaylorMade101.com and click on Marketplace. You'll get a chance to see the book out there front and center. Go out there and get the book today. We're going to try to push. We're going to give her the current events bump this week.
Whoa! Like the Thank COVID you very bump. Much.
We're going to give it a current events bump this week. So we're going to push you over to in sales this week. So
all right. Thank you very much. If you would like to contact me directly, you can also be in contact with me at orders@whatsyournickname.net. And as well, I have a website that you can go to, and it's http://whatsyournickname.net.
All right, that's whatsyournickname.net. Go out there today and get the book. Well, Paulette, we have
Thank
about
you.
5 minutes remaining on the show. Any final thoughts?
I'm really thankful for you all today, and I'm thankful for all the listeners. Thank you to Jima and Jaffa who called in, and thank you for allowing me to have voice to my book, I Gotta Get a Nickname. I'm really thankful for the support, the conversations that I've had with the children. And what I've learned is that many of us want to embrace the fact that we may look different. I have freckles, you know, and I had a hard time dealing with that as a young child. and I didn't have this book, you know, I got to get a nickname. But there are several characters in the book that may talk different or look different, and it just allows a child to even express, wow, I know I look different, but I don't think anything is wrong with me. And they're absolutely right. Nothing's wrong with you. We need to get to a point where we embrace one another and not be harmful with names or nicknames, but to love one another, to get back to the way it's really supposed to be. So those are my final thoughts. And thank you so much for this voice today.
It is my pleasure. And I want to thank to all the listeners out there for tuning in. And special thanks to Paulette Tyson, her staff. She mentioned many people that went in to help putting this effort to get together. And I always talk throughout, you know, days that I said, no man is an island entire of itself. Each one is a part of the main, a part of the whole. And so Paulette is truly a testament to showing that, you know, all of this hard work and teamwork that went into putting this masterpiece together. And so, and what's really, really, I must say, what's really interesting is the fact that now this is a legacy. When you put
yes.
your writing down like that, this is a legacy not only for your children, but your grandchildren and your great-grandchildren
yes.
that come to be able to see this forevermore. So this is something that's, you know, that I'm an avid reader, you know, and I love people that take time to put in the work to write books. So I applaud you. And God
Thank
bless you.
You
I know you're
going
to be doing wonderful, great things.
Thank you very much.
All right, so remember to join us next week. I'm your host, Patrick Cook, coming to you live from Dallas, Texas, as I do every Sunday at 4 p.m. Central Time. We are the number one resource for small business and nonprofits. Now, if you're looking to advertise your business or to get the word out about your event, products, or services, or maybe you want to even become a guest on the show, go to TaylorMade101.com and click on Blog Talk Radio Affiliates. We will work with you with TaylorMade. So until next time, remember, it is written, my people are destroyed for the lack of knowledge. So stay engaged, stay informed, and stay plugged in to current events with Patrick Cook.